Remember Pearl Harbor. Keep 'em rolling. Production Board, in cooperation with WOR and Mutual, presents the 24th in this weekly series of programs of entertainment and information about America's United War effort. Tonight's guests include...
The dynamic young star of stage and screen, John Garfield. Radio's popular songstress, Wynn Murray. The versatile young composer-conductor, Morton Gould and the orchestra.
Your master of ceremonies is one of the most distinguished figures of the contemporary theater, the well-known author and playwright, George S. Kaufman.
A great American epic has been written at Bataan. 35,000 American and Philippine soldiers are captured. Others have fought their last fight. A few hold out stubbornly at Corregidor. Americans and Filipinos, fighting side by side, living on starvation rations, eating their horses and mules, enduring gunfire, wounds, malaria, gangrene, gambling their lives for time for us to arm. The first thunder of the United Nations bombers over Tokyo is the first rumble of vengeance and retribution. But it is not enough. To dedicate radio programs to these heroes is not enough. We must dedicate our very lives, our very being, to the cause for which they endured so much. They must not have suffered, they must not have died in vain. Now, to open tonight's program, Wynn Murray tells us in song what we on the home front must do to help carry the torch of Bataan.
Buckle down, you Yankees, buckle down. You can win, you Yankees, if you knuckle down. If you break their neck, if you make them wreck, you can brace the heck, so buckle down. Make 'em yell, you Yankees, make 'em yell. You can win, you Yankees, if you give 'em hell. If you don't give in, take it on the chin. You are bound to win if you will only buckle down. If you work, you'll chuckle at defeat. If you work, your luck will not retreat. Knuckle down, you Yankees, knuckle down. You can win, you Yankees, if you buckle down. If you mow 'em down, if you go to town, you can wear the crown if you will only buckle down. Make 'em yell, give 'em hell. If you don't give in, take it on the chin. You are bound to win if you will only buckle down. If you work, you'll chuckle at defeat. If you work, your luck will not retreat. Knuckle down, you Yankees, knuckle down. You can win, you Yankees, if you buckle down. If you mow them down, if you go to town, you can wear the crown if you will only buckle down.
The name of Bataan has already taken its place in history alongside of Valley Forge, Gettysburg, Chateau Thierry. But what are the individual men, the nameless thousands who gave their lives on Bataan? No one is better qualified to tell us about them than the distinguished public official who was at Corregidor and Bataan during the heaviest fighting and who is our guest of honor tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, the recently returned High Commissioner of the Philippine Islands, Francis B. Sayre.
Mr. Kaufman, I'm glad of this chance to bring a word from our fighting men in the Philippines. To their mothers and fathers and home folks, I want, in just as personal a way as I can, to bring their greetings and their love. With many I talked while I was with them on Corregidor, and always they would say, I wish I could tell the folks back home. I'm thinking of them, and I'm fighting for them. Tell them I'm all right.
Will you tell us, Commissioner, just who these boys were who battled so courageously on Bataan?
Mr. Kaufman, the boys who died defending Bataan were from no one special group or class. They were average representatives of every race and creed that go to make up these United States of ours. And they fought with a courage and spirit that cannot be adequately described, even when they had to face the cruel realization that America could not get assistance to them in time to save Bataan. To face that realization with open eyes and stout hearts took more real courage than dodging bombs and shells.
You mean, Commissioner, that they knew they were going to lose, but still they continued to fight?
Yes, and they kept their spirits high. Sometimes I wonder if America quite realizes the things those boys, both American and Filipino, are going through for us. Stripped of every comfort, up against fearful living conditions, never flinching, even when the ground is rocking under exploding bombs and shells, they are such men as epic stories are written about. I've watched them going to their lonely and dangerous posts night after night, never hesitating, taking it all in their stride as a matter of course. I've watched them being carried fresh from action, torn and bleeding, into the hospital to the operating tables, gritting their teeth with never a word of complaint. Given an equal chance, they are out fighting the Japanese at every turn. Their spirit is magnificent. They never can be beaten.
And of course, it was that remarkable spirit that enabled our soldiers to hold out as long as they did without reinforcement.
Yes, but it wasn't only soldiers. Our sailors and Marines were doing a splendid job there, too. Our Blue Jackets cleaned out some of the nastiest nests of Japanese on Bataan. And it was our Marines brought down from China who had the critical responsibility of guarding the shores and beaches of Corregidor against Japanese landings. I used to sleep sounder at nights because of those Marines. Dependable unto death, they were among America's finest.
Having just returned, Commissioner, from the fighting front to the home front, you're in a unique position to judge our chances of ultimately defeating the world fascist forces.
If American troops continue to fight as those brave lads I lived with on Corregidor are fighting, if the American people match their gallantry on the production front, America will be irresistible. Once again, as she did in 1776, America will save for humanity the great cause of human freedom and democracy.
Thank you, Commissioner, and good night. And now, to salute those soldiers, sailors, and Marines of the beaches and jungles of Bataan, Morton Gould and the orchestra play a medley of songs of our three great armed services. few weeks ago, at this point in the program, we asked a question. We said, we wonder if we at home know what our troops are enduring on our battlefronts, what they're thinking. Our play echoed that question then. Now, as the story of Bataan comes to light, the message of that play becomes immeasurably more urgent, more poignant. Because of that, and because the play met a public response that resulted in a genuine demand for its repetition, we are going to act that play again tonight. I Wonder If They Know, written by Sidney Rand and Milton Geiger, directed by Arthur Curlan. And here again to act the leading part is the same dynamic star of stage and screen who first created the role, John Garfield. We present John Garfield in I Wonder If They Know with Edwin Cooper and a distinguished cast.
I know I don't get to write to you very often, Mom, but we've been on maneuvers again, and boy, are we tired. Most of the men, though, are enlisted men like myself, and they knew what they were doing when they signed up, and they're not squawking. Frankly, though, Mama, I don't think we're going to have a war with the Japs. But if we do fight, we couldn't be in a better war, if you know what I mean. I've thought this out before, and it always
adds up exactly the same. What I say is bananas on peace at any price. Sometimes you've just got to fight. And I disagree with the gent who said there never was a bad peace or a good war. If trouble comes, I'm set to do my part to the limit, so I'm not worrying. Well, Mom, I'm plenty tired, so I'm going to grab myself a thick slice of slumber. Say hello to Pop and Louise, and plenty of love to all. But you take yours off the top first. Oh. Goodbye now, and write. Your son, Generalissimo Eddie.
Is that all he says?
He's too tired to say more. Henry, do you suppose there'll be any trouble with Japan?
Nah, they don't want any trouble with Uncle Sam.
I hope not. Oh, I hope not.
Well, the kid ain't doing half bad. A corporal already. Mm-hmm. And wintering in the Philippines. Not bad. Not half bad. The Philippines.
Pearl Harbor in sight. All squadrons execute orders according to plan. Pearl Harbor must be destroyed. Long live the Emperor.
Look, kid. I'm going after that machine gun.
Eddie, you can't run in this gumbo.
Mutter, no mutter. I'm going after that squirt gun. Shut up and give me some support.
Eddie, I'm coming after you. Lay low, kid. There's nothing.
Wish I had a cigarette. Probably go out in this rain. Anyhow, I wonder they don't find me. Red Cross, find me. I can't move. Must be hurt bad. Okay. Worth it if it kills me. Better it's me here than Mom or Pop and the rest back home. Baby, I wish it rained again. I'm thirsty. Hot. Water. Why doesn't somebody come? Mom, do something, Mom. Make it all right, Mom. It hurts.
My little boy.
It hurts. Don't go away.
My little boy. My only son.
Mom, don't go. Stick with me, Mom. Stick with us, gang. Don't go away. Stick. Stick. Stick.
Hey. Hey, men. Bring that stretcher on the double. Here's one. And hurry up. This one's about gone.
All ready to go, Doctor.
Anesthesia complete.
Yes, Doctor.
Tetanus antitoxin's been given. Shock precautions taken.
Very well, we'll begin. Please see that I receive instruments promptly, nurse. Try to anticipate my needs. I've got all I can do to save this poor fellow. There's been severe abdominal trauma. We'll do all we can.
We'll do all we can. We'll do all we can. We'll do all we can.
It's worth it. It's worth it. Because this is the kind of knockdown fight you got to fight. Or where do you rate being a man? They'll have to put me flat on my back for the long count before they'll ever get me down on my knees. And that goes for every other American. They're behind me. Big guys and little guys. Every one of them standing behind us like my old boss, Mr. Morton, back home. Biggest man in the state. But big, you know. He's behind me. You can bet your sweet life on that. He's behind me all the way.
Mr. Morton, you've got the biggest...
Sure, Anderson, sure. I've got the biggest factory in these parts. And I'm willing to cooperate with the war effort just like the next fella. Up to a certain point.
Mr. Morton, you're not
producing... I don't care if I'm not producing up to full capacity. No one's going to tell me what to do or who to hire. I never had any Jews or Negroes working for me before, and I'm not going to start now, war or no war. I got my rights.
Yes, but...
Now, don't bring it up again. I've got enough trouble as it is with my blood pressure.
Blood pressure down, Doctor.
Yes, hemostat, please. I'm getting some reflex response here. I thought you said anesthesia was complete.
I'm trying to make what anesthetic we have last.
Nevertheless, more anesthetic, please.
More anesthetic, please. More anesthetic, please. More anesthetic, please.
Man, I'll tell the world it's worth it. It's worth it because all those people back home know what I'm up against. And they're pulling for little Eddie and company. They're spitting on their hands and getting in there, too. They're in there socking, see? Like Miss Johnson, who had the file room in the factory where I worked. Classy stuff, see? But she's in there pitching. I'm here to tell you she is.
I'm not complaining at all. I'm just saying that I won't be a life warden in this block. I don't like the light post warden.
Well, is there anything else you'd care to do? Can you type?
What? You positively demolish my fingernails?
Will you man the post telephone 3 evenings a week?
Oh, I answer the telephones enough at the office all day.
Will you study first aid?
First aid? First aid? You mean broken bones and burns and people screaming and everything? You mean blood?
Blood. It's too much blood. Can't you be quicker with those hemostats, nurse? Can't you see the patient's bleeding to death?
I'm sorry, I'm doing the work of 3 people now.
Yes, of course, aren't we all? Wipe my forehead, will you? Thanks. Check blood pressure and pulse.
Pulse weak. Pressure sinking again.
We'll have to work faster. Stand by to treat for shock.
Stand by to treat for shock. Stand by to treat for shock. Stand by to treat for shock.
It's worth it. You can quote me. Tell him for me, I said so. It's worth it. All right. Once in a while, a guy gets nicked by accident. The boys at Pearl Harbor got a pretty good going over. But what happens? We stopped bickering and fighting among ourselves back home and started slugging in the right direction, you know? No more half-baked appeasers. No more beefing and rumor-mongering and dealing from the bottom of the deck. They're behind us. I'll say they're behind us 100%.
Oh, We got the biggest fleet in the world. The biggest fleet. And where is it, I ask you? Where is our fleet?
You can take this in your hand, Herbert. I happen to know that the damage at Pearl Harbor was a lot worse than Washington cares to admit.
Where's our fleet?
Fleet with battleships and $70 million each? Lord, aren't taxes high enough? Outrageous. Fleet, battleships. I'm working to support the Admiral. This isn't my war. I didn't make it.
Hitler didn't ask for it either. He'd make peace tomorrow.
Yes, and a good thing, too.
Yes, but being in the minority, I suppose we'll just have to keep it to ourselves.
I'd like to know why. This is a democracy, isn't it?
Patient's skin is clammy. BP falling. Pulse. Almost gone.
Yes, we'll have to work faster.
Sponge here, nurse.
Hemostat.
Mosquito forceps.
Hemostat off. Faster, please.
Faster.
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 Faster. Everyone playing together. Cooperating. Teamwork. Like in the factory where I work. Coletti, the Driscoll, the Cone. You know? Everyone running interference for us boys with the ball. Thinking just one thought. Win the war! They're for us, 100%. And that's what builds a guy up. Because it's them we're taking the rap for.
I don't give a hoot and a holler if the Union chiefs have come out for complete cooperation in the war effort. I'm different. I'm running this local. I'm not letting anyone beat me down, see? You boys will stop riveting at noon tomorrow. Anybody have any objections?
Don't be silly. Just because everyone else is conserving sugar, there's lots of sugar. Just go round from store to store and collect a little in each place. I've got 200 pounds in my cellar that way, and I'm getting more all the time.
England will fight to the last Yankee.
Where's the fleet?
Well, I heard.
I happen to know.
2 pounds of sugar, please.
Just propaganda. Everything's propaganda.
But I bought a defense bond. What more do they want?
2 pounds of sugar, please.
Go on. We're not going to get bombed. It can't happen here.
Come on, Senator. Give us the lowdown on...
Please.
We're going to win. A fella doesn't mind paying off if he gets the value. If what he died for wins. Well, what did Abe Lincoln say? Shall not have died in vain. That's the rough idea. We'll win, all right. Because Joe and Luke and Tom and Ruth and Slim and Fat and Coletti and Driscoll and Cone and Miss Scottrocks and Mr. Big and everybody, they're back home and pitching and no exceptions. That's the way I feel about it. You know?
Forceps, please. At the enamel tray again.
Yes, Doctor.
Another bullet wedged against his spine.
Doctor.
Yes?
The patient's pulse. It's gone.
I know. He never had a chance. 5 machine gun slugs. I don't know. I wonder if they know back home what these boys feel, think, suffer. Most of them are grateful. Some accept it all. And some, I suppose. Here's the last bullet. That makes 5. I wonder if they know. I wonder if they know.
Boy of that clay who was so ready to give his life, to all those of every race and creed who fought and fell defending Bataan, we now pay tribute with a song written by Irving Caesar, sung by Wynne Murray.
We'll never forget you, but should we forget you? Then let our eyes forget that they have seen today. again. And let our ears not hear sweet children at their play again. And let our lips forget that they have learned to pray again. If we forsake you, if we forsake you, we'll never forget you. But should we forget you, then may we ever know the bitter, not the sweet again. And may we never find a friendly hand to breathe again. And let these hearts of ours forget that
our program is dedicated to the great nation of Russia. Our guest of honor will be Ambassador Joseph E. Davies. Alfred Lund and Lynn Fontanne will be on hand in an original radio drama by Arch Obler. Till next week, this is George S. Kaufman saying goodnight and reminding you, remember Pearl Harbor.
The entire program is produced and directed by Arthur Colan of the radio section of the War Production Board. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.